after the 34. It says Dina went out to see Bibnei Sohar. Now, where were they at this time? They were in the land of Canaan, correct? Yaakov, at first, they came into Shechem. They settled in Shechem. And Dina went out, Lirez Bibnei Sohar. Now, Shechem is definitely in Eretz Yisrael. Shechem has a very bad reputation, but it is part of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara even says, the Nefisha Reitzkin. Shechem always had a place where the Gemara says, the Nefisha Reitzkin. There were a lot of murderers in Shechem. But this is where he lived. But it was so far away from the Eretz Yisrael that the Malm says, of Beisail, where he was supposed to bring the Mizbeach, and it was also far away from the home of his father, from the environment, the home environment of his father. Now, it's always puzzling, why didn't Yaakov hurry back to go home? Now, I once followed through a whole theme here, where it says that finally, after the event that happened with Shechem, when they defiled Dinah, in chapter 34, there's a supposedly innocuous sentence which says that God says to Yaakov, go back to Beisail, sit there and make a Mizbeach. Alright, so Yaakov said, fine, let's go back to Beisail and we'll make this Mizbeach, because he had promised to make that Mizbeach in Beisail. Yaakov thought he could fulfill it in Shechem, but God said, go back there. So it says in sentence 7, he built the Mizbeach because God appeared to him. And then, when he built the Mizbeach, then God, in sentence 9 and 10, and says, you will be, he gives him the blessing. And they made a matseva. In 35:8, it says, Dvorah, the Menekes Rivka died. She was buried. And the name was called Alein Bechus. Now, how does that fit in? So, the truth is that when Rivka sent away Yaakov originally, she said, go there until I call you. You should come back. Chazal tell us a few things. That Dvorah was sent to call Yaakov to come back home by Rivka. Rivka died at that time, but Dvorah was sent to call Yaakov to come back home to Rivka. So now perhaps this gives us some insight. Because when he was by Lavan, he was still waiting, according to this. Nobody came to call him. But God told him at night, go back. So he went back. But he didn't go immediately to his father's house because he still didn't have the second part of the tzivri of the mother. The second aspect was, till I tell you to come back into the house. So he was still waiting for that. So that's perhaps why he settled in Shechem, which was in the land of Israel. And he didn't go back to the father's house in Be'er Sheva because he was waiting for the mother to send the message. So then we'll say, why was he suffering in Shechem? He was doing what he thought was right. But now it fits in very well. You just thought of the one word just hit me now. In the beginning of 35, sentence 1, God says to Yaakov, go to Beisail. Where was Beisail? That's where he had the dream and he had to make the altar. So Yaakov was waiting till he hears from his mother. Then he'll go back to the father, right? But why do you have to wait in Shechem? Look at the words. Kum alei Beisail, go to Beisail, v'shev shom, and remain there. You wanted to remain in Israel, not to go back to your father, but to be in Eretz Israel until your mother calls you. But what are you sitting in Canaan for with the Canaanites? Go to Beisail, where the spirit is there, and build a matzeva there. And the words v'shev shom are extra. What is v'shev shom? Sit and wait in Beisail. So that's exactly what Yaakov did. Then in sentence 8, Dvorah Menekes Rivka comes along and gives him the message. And then it says God appeared again to Yaakov, and now was the time to go back to his father's home, and got this additional blessing and started returning back to the father's home. So in this way, the sequence of events fit in very well. He was by Lavan waiting for the mother to come. But the mother didn't send a message. But the angel said, go back to Eretz Moladetecha. So he had to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So he went into Eretz Yisrael. He came to the first place in Shechem. He's waiting. But he was staying with Shechem. And therefore the event of Dina happened. So God said, don't forget, you have to make a Mizbeach for the mountain in Beisail. So go to Beisail. Bring your Mizbeach there, at least not among Shechem. And wait there, B'shev Shom. So it says he went to Beisail, he built him his bath, then Dvorah came, and then he moved onward to come back to his father's house. So the main point that you learn from the 34th chapter is that even in Eretz Yisrael, you could be in Eretz Yisrael. If you live among Shechem, it has to have an influence also on your family, because it says there, Bateitzei Din al-Durais, not among the boys, there's princes, Bivneisoret. But even Bateitzei Lures, to go out and see, to socialize, Bivneisoret is also a certain form of assimilation, which the Jew has to guard himself from, even if he's in Eretz Yisrael. Even if he's in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't mean that you could already go with the heirs. With it. That has nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. You have to guard yourself, not be Bivneisoret.
Story that happened, Shem took her, and he assaulted her, and then he went ahead, and he says that he took Nafshi Dima, that he loved her, and he truly loved her, and he wanted to marry her. And Yaakov heard and sent his spies, and he remained silent. Yaakov heard, his children were still not back, and he waited until they came. Why was Yaakov silent? Because he realized what he's going to appeal. He's going to appeal to them that they should let her go. He realizes that any appeal of justice or human rights would not work. I'm taking Hirsch's interpretation. And the only way would be to have some resort to force, which would be a matter for younger people, if necessary. So it says there that they reacted violently in 77. Why were they so violent? Because Yaakov really was a weak family, defenseless against all his nation. And the only way that he would be able to exist would be by recognition of his spiritual morality and spiritual nobility, which the others would have to recognize. Otherwise, he says, Shechem would not have dared to treat the daughter of a citizen in such a manner, but only because she was, quote, a Jew girl. A Bas Yaakov, could this have happened? So this affected them deeply, because they realized that they wouldn't be able to exist. So he said that they were immediately to find out that cases could arise where it was a question of saving purity and morality, where one could wish to take the sword out of Esav's hands into one's own hand. And that was Vayichalayam Ne'er. They realized that there is a time when Jewish people have to take the sword in their hands. So what happened? You know, the subterfuge. They went ahead and they told them to go ahead and to be circumcised and so on. They misled them. Their intent was not to go. What was their intent? Their intent was to not to come along with this. Their intent was that when they become weak, they'll go in and then maybe kill out Shem if necessary and take Dina back. They don't have to go and kill everybody. So, but they did. They were hotheads, supposedly. And they killed everybody. So, like Chris said, had they killed Shem and Hamor, there would be nothing to say against it. But they didn't spare the unarmed men. They, right? And so on, he said, there was no justification because these inhabitants, they were innocent people. Why did they have to pay their sins for the crime of the landowner? So Yaakov Avinu reproached him. Here he spoke up. He said, you have clouded me. Because our reputation, our name, our honor, which is clear as crystal, you have besmirched. Yaakov speaks to them in 7:30. He says, achaved me to make a bad odor, meaning people will look down at me. So what did they answer? Hakazene yases hakazene. We had to give a lesson, that this lesson will forever remain in their minds. Like Zayn Yasser suffers saying, now this is something that we still suffer with this. They're both right and they're both wrong. I mean, the Jews now, the Israelis, supposedly, when they go to war, they have Arabs, Ameshik, whatever they call it, mean of violence. They don't want to kill civilians. So what happens? That's how many extra people are fall in the army service, because the others have no morality and no restrictions. They lose that. On the other hand, they can't see themselves being a civilian. But sometimes it's necessary in order that the message is achieved. Like the same gas is not the same. So this is what the debate was, according to Hirsch, it seems, between Yaakov and the brothers. Yaakov didn't answer, because this was a question, like the same gas is the same, the whole future of Klal Yisrael. It says, Dina went out. How does the chapter 34 start? reports us that Kapetze Dina, here is Bidnesor, that Dina went out, Kapetze Dina Basleya, Asher Yolda Leyakov. Here is Bidnesor, so she was the daughter of Leya, right? And she was the daughter of Yaakov. So the Medrash quote Rashi is that her mother also went out. Her mother went out to greet Yaakov in the last week 7 by saying, I have come to me because of the mandates. But so since the mother went out and they saw in that, in delicacy of that situation, they saw a little bit, not can't say, but it was a little too much a lack of being sneers, meaning of being different and separating. It wasn't delicate that she should go out and be able to tell Yaakov, really, when they look at it. Here also, Dina, the Jewish girl, doesn't hang out near as good as they are. What is she going to see? They stop. It's the music and the what? So it says that the fact that Dina went out, that itself already brought this about, because if Dina would have been made, then Shem would have never seen it. So this source would not have happened. That's one of the points that they mentioned. Yet at the other hand, the lesson had to be made that the Jews are not like people that they could enslave and violate and destroy and have no family, they have no purity, they have no morality. They have to be made in a very strong way. Back on the land, the children have the difference in that. Now, Shimon and Levi, and his deathbed, he curses Shimon and Levi. He curses the rain. But he says at the same time, I will separate them, spread them out amongst the various tribes of the Jewish people. They won't be the ministers and they won't be the government because they're too heated. Their response will be too violent. But on the other hand, they will get spread out. They will serve to give strength and to give courage and to give this feeling of self-esteem to others. So therefore, they do have a positive thing. But they can't be the ones who are in charge. Falcon, the Yaakov, they are teaching these stories. Briefly, some of the lessons that we can learn out of the